The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
First, though, I'm going to talk about the nature restoration law. So you might have heard in the news headlines or seen it somewhere today that finally been approved at a European Union level. But what does all of this mean? Pippa Hackett is a Green Party senator and she's a Minister of State for Land Use and Biodiversity in the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Minister, you're welcome to the show. So what is this? Why is it important? And practically speaking, what will it mean for people or for people who are the custodians of the land in this country?
Good afternoon, Ciarán. Look, I suppose the nature restoration law has been spoken about, you know, at length, I suppose, for months and months. And finally today, it was approved by the council at the European level, which really, nails it down now. It is going to be a law and it is going to be part of the legislature going forward from Europe. So really, this is a good day for Europe. It's a good day for nature. And if we can get it right, I believe we'll look back on this as a really good day for farmers and for rural Ireland in particular. But we need to get it right. So ultimately, this law is about restoring nature across all sorts of different types of systems, whether it's peatlands, urban areas, sand dunes, grasslands, woodlands, you name it. We know we're in a biodiversity crisis. We know we have difficulty with our nature as it is across Europe and in Ireland. And this is a law there put in place now to help and support us to do just that.
So for people at home, again, just to make it tangible, are we talking then about, you know, more forestry in the country, kind of more native Irish forestry, about identifying land that's maybe not ideal for farming and is being farmed at the moment and putting it into other uses? Like, you know, paint a picture of what this might look like once implemented.
Well, I suppose we've a certain amount of that already in place in terms of forestry, and we have big aims under our new forest strategy, which I brought into place last year, about, you know, increasing the area of forested land in Ireland, and particularly in relation towards the move towards more native trees in Ireland. So that would be one part of it. But it's also about protecting areas that and enhancing areas that already exist. So if you're looking at improving pollinators across the country, improving how we manage our peatlands and how we are manage our sand dunes. These are all very specific habitats for nature and for biodiversity. But I suppose what is important to say is that because farmers in particular, are the custodians of, you know, almost two-thirds of the land of Ireland, this law really has to work for farmers. And we really have to listen to farmers and listen to their concerns and engage with them as we design the nature restoration plan. This is a two-year process now we'll begin to embark on very shortly, to come up with the plan of how Ireland is going to do that. And we do need to listen to the farmers in relation to that.
And what do you say then to those farmers who have serious misgivings about this?
I suppose one of the issues that came out over the last number of months again, and it seems if people were listening, you would think that it is only about wetting peatlands and no other issues. So there's plenty of other aspects to consider. But I suppose the main concern from the farming communities was in relation to the regulations around raising the water table on certain lands, on farmed peaty soils. And that is a worry. But I suppose I really want to make two points on this. The first point is that any targets in this law are binding on the government. They're not binding on any individuals or any individual landowners. And the government is consistently said that we will be able to meet our 2030 and 2040 targets using state lands. That's lands owned by the likes of Caoilte and Bord na Mona. And the second point is that...
Yeah, but it's the farmers around that, isn't it? I mean, it's the farmers, like, you re-wet all of the Bog of Allen, and it's all of the farmers around that part of Kildare who border the Bog of Allen. They might not be in hock to the government. They're private individuals farming their own private land, but the water table has been raised and you've got a spring like the spring we just had, and they won't be able to access their fields.
Well, I mean, that has been a concern up to now, and Bord na Mona has been rewetting lands over the last number of years in the Midlands. And you know, I've yet to hear from a farmer whose land has been affected by that. But we have, you know, we will, that has to be, you know, those lands have to be protected. If those farmers clearly don't want their land rewetted, that can't happen. And that we can put measures in place to stop that. But just the second point I wanted to make is any farmers that are going to, rewet their lands as part of this or consider rewetting some of their lands, it's not their whole farms or anything like that, it'll be an entirely voluntary thing. There has been a bit of scaremongering out there that farmers will be forced. Nobody will be forced. This is a voluntary uptake. And in fact, it will actually help many farmers continue to farm for longer on those lands, because slightly wetted peat soils are better for farming than dried out peaty soils, which end up being so worn away and condensed, you have no soil to work with in the end.
I don't think there's much dry soil left in the country anyway after the last 10 months.
A few sites today now, I tell you. There was a few dry areas. It's interesting enough. Depends where you go.
Michael Fitzmaurice is with us as well, Independent TD for Roscommon Galway. Michael, have you misgivings about the nature restoration law?
Absolutely. Good evening, Ciarán. Good evening, Pippa. It's a black day, I believe, for a lot of the farmers in the northwest, the west, and parts of the Midlands, and the southwest. The reality is, and the pity Pippa mightn't be listening to her constituents, there was actually a delegation from her own county that came up in relation to rewetting, where Bord Mon had rewetting done and their lands was affected. But this isn't just about the farmer, Ciarán. Like, everyone is just looking at the farmer. What happens to the farmer? The farmer, they're saying that they'll give money towards it. Second of all, Pippa has said there that it will be voluntary. Well, when a directive comes in, a directive comes in. Yes, she's 100% right that the government has to do it. But at the end of the day, the word voluntary under Article 4.1 and 4.2 isn't there. And that means all peaty-type soils. There's a directive or a part of the new law which states that we have to do a percentage of what we call drained agricultural peatland that the state does not own. In my opinion, yes, up to 2030 we will not be, it will be Bord na Mona and Quilcha. After that we are running into tougher waters, in my opinion, where agricultural drained peatland will be called into question. And when you say something is voluntary and something not voluntary, Pippa works in the department, or is minister in the Department of Agriculture, and there's a the farming organisations are trying to push back on at the moment, where if you have peaty type soil, that and it's an EU directive or legislation that you won't, if you put in for your BIS application, you won't shore it, you won't make a new drain it, or you won't plough it. So what does a farmer do? They'll say it's voluntary. Yeah, it is voluntary. But if you do those works, you lose your BIS payment. And this is the way that something is so-called voluntary, but compulsory in another way. And bear in mind, Ciarán, that today and last year, when farmers put in their BIS applications, and this year, they have all put, 98% of them has put 10% of their lands away for space for nature. Already, they have done that. But the problem is, it doesn't affect someone that's in the Golden Vale, or even your own country, Ciarán, with, say, fairly good land. But what, it's not anybody's fault where they're born. And if you come from a peaty-type soil that was drained and shored, and actually the EU gave grants to do this, and you're farming sheep and cattle,
yeah,
the dog in the street will tell you that if you rise the level of the water, anyone that knows anything about farming, yeah, you'll have cattle with fluke or sheep with fluke. It won't work. And the bigger picture is, and this is where it's most devastating to the likes of me, when you're trying to build communities, when you're trying to keep a football team going, when you're trying to keep a local school going, when you're trying to keep a local hardware or a shop going down up or down the road, it's not just about the farmer. The farmer buys the bag of nuts for the cow. He buys they go to the shop to buy a bit of grub. They contribute to a local economy.
Yeah.
And if that farmer has their land rewetted, you don't have to get up in the morning to go out and look at the cow calf or the ewe yearning. You have a problem then, because you don't actually need to live in the area if you come from that, which is a major problem to the whole thing, what I call community.
The argument about biodiversity collapse, I mean, do you accept that reality and say, listen, there's another way to tackle it, or do you just reject that?
Ciarán, did you listen to what I said? Have you done it, or has everyone that's listened to this programme done it? 98% of farmers have put 10% of their lands aside since 2023 for space for nature. Is that not a fair effort already? Rather than somebody who is unfortunately in a peaty-type land that is now growing grass, be now down the road in a situation where they might have to decide between their single farm payment or rewetting. And this is the problem that's coming. And politicians can promise, but politicians come and go. And by the way, it's very spurious the way it came in this morning, because as you are well aware of, the Austrian Minister for Environment was told not to vote for it. And there is now a case sent to the ECJ because the Austrian government is challenging it because of what their minister done. And that was put out in the media yesterday about the vote, that they did not want their minister, it wouldn't be constitutional in their country. I don't know all the ins and outs of their constitution, but it wouldn't be constitutional without their minister for agriculture. But their green minister went in today and voted for it against the wishes of their government, and now they're gone. But look at, the law was passed today, unfortunately, and I will tell you, I am all my life trying to build communities, are trying to encourage young farmers. I cannot say to a young farmer next week, well, look, you have a future in 2035 or 2040 if you come from a PC side.
Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent TD for Roscommon, Galway, Pippa Hackett, who is a Green Party Senator and Minister of State for Land Use Biodiversity in the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.